One morning when I was at Conception Seminary, I was quite depressed. And the reason I was depressed was because the paper was due that day, and I had not done it. I had not even started on it, and it was due. And it was the first class in the morning, too, so there was no opportunity after morning mass to rush back home, back to my room, and write the paper. So I just sauntered into the classroom, quite depressed, quite unhappy, sitting in my chair and contemplating my miserable fate, thinking what was going to happen. Of course, I knew what was going to happen. The teacher was going to come in and demand the paper, and I had nothing. So I was going to get an F, a zero. I was going to completely fail that paper. And while I thus sat, unhappy and miserable, suddenly a student walked in and announced, "Teacher is sick, class is canceled." So God really did provide for me that day. That is the message of today's gospel. By the way, for all the students in the room, do not use this as an excuse to not do your homework. I was very lucky that day. God was very kind. That is probably not going to happen again and again. So do not use that as a way to not do homework. But today's first reading is about the love of a mother for her child and how that is like the love of God. But the love of a mother for her child. And today's gospel is about basic trust in God, trusting that God will provide. I believe we can combine these two readings and see a message that the church, the Holy Spirit, is trying to tell us, which is that we should not fear new life. We should not be afraid of a new child coming into our life, because God will provide. God will provide all that is needed for the new child. I noticed that in today's world, and I'm speaking about the whole world, not necessarily the people in this room, I'm talking about the whole world. In today's world, the main fear that most people have about a new child is the cost, the financial aspect of it. And people are very hesitant to welcome a new life into their marriage because of the cost. I find that interesting because in world history, we are the wealthiest generation in history. There has never been a time in history when people had more wealth than we have today. Never have people had access to more money, had bigger houses, better opportunities for education. We are the top of the heap in terms of world history, in terms of wealth. And yet there is so much hesitancy. At the time when we have the most resources, there is so much hesitancy to welcome a new child into the world. I find it interesting that even 100 years ago, our ancestors were much, much poorer than we are today. Much, much poorer. Yet they were so much more generous in bringing new life into the world. Far fewer resources, much less money, but more, much more generous with God in welcoming a new life. Indeed, welcoming a new child into our life, into our marriages, being generous with God and bringing new life into the world, is one of the best things we can do for two reasons that I see very clearly. One is because, unlike cars, unlike money, unlike swimming pools, a child can actually love us back. We may have lots of things, but none of those things can love us in return. But a child is capable. A child loves us back. So we can actually love something and it loves us back. What a beautiful, mysterious, wonderful reality. And the second reason is because, unlike anything else we might have in the world, a child is an eternal gift. We might do great things. We might write a great book which ends world hunger. We might build great cities which house all of the homeless in the world. We might do wonderful things, but all these things will pass away. The cities will disappear. The books will be forgotten. The great deeds will be undone. But a child that we have, that God has given us, we will have that forever. Throughout all of eternity in heaven, our child will always be our child, and we will be happy with them forever. So it is so wonderful, so beautiful to welcome a new child, a new life into our homes, to be generous with God and welcoming a new child. And I think that's what God encourages us to be generous, generous of heart. Now, I know what some people are going to say. So, Father Max, are you saying that it's wrong for couples to use NFP? Are you saying that's a bad thing? Oh, certainly not. Certainly not. In situations of difficulty, couples do have the right to use NFP, and that is perfectly fine. That is perfectly fine. And I will always support a couple who chooses to use that to space out children. But I think that we need to have a broader picture of natural family planning and how it's meant to be used. I think that we can kind of see natural family planning as the virtue of prudence, of wisdom, knowing when is the right time to do the right things. And we can see welcoming a new child into our life as the virtue of generosity. But generosity and prudence, they're not in conflict. Indeed, they are united. They should be united. We should be prudent generously. We should be generous prudently. We need to pray so that we use both virtues rightly and correctly. We need to be prudent with a generous heart. I will always and completely support any married couple who, because they're in great difficulty, they choose to use natural family planning to postpone a pregnancy. That's fine. But we must always remember, difficulties don't last forever. Hard times don't last forever. They come and they go. And when they have gone, perhaps we might think of welcoming a new life into our family, welcoming a new life into our marriages. That is so pleasing to God. That is such a great triumph of God, to allow God to create someone who will live forever, who will be with God forever in heaven. And what's more, my brothers and sisters, is not we need to be generous to new life, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us. For quite often, it doesn't always happen, certainly, but it happens enough that it's a problem when someone's having their seventh or their eighth child and they tell their family, they tell their friends, but instead of getting joy, they get disappointment. They get frowns. People are not happy to hear about an eighth child. Come on, eight children? What are you thinking? That's not, my brothers and sisters, that's not being supportive of new life. That's not being generous to new life. So another way, many of us are not in a situation where we can have another child. I'm a celibate, and other people are beyond childbearing years, but there is a way we can be open to new life, and that is by supporting those couples who do have another child, even if it's their seventh child, even if it's their eighth child, to always rejoice, always be happy, always support, offer to support, offer to help, and show them that we affirm them, we support them in bringing a new life into the world. My brothers and sisters, let us be generous of heart and be confident that God will always provide. Now, I'm not saying there won't ever be any sacrifices, far be it from me to say that, but God will provide. If God chooses to give a married couple a new child, even if it's their eighth child, their ninth child, he will provide for that child. Like he says in today's gospel, he provides for even the lilies of the field. He will provide for another child. Let us resolve that we will always please God by being generous to new life.